live from the Poly Market Studio in LA. It's the Young Turks. You're about to watch what we call an extended clip of the Young Turks. And the reality is, it's somewhere in the middle. It's a little longer than our YouTube clips, but it's actually shorter than the whole 2-hour show, which you can get if you're a member. You can get it ad free, and make sure you catch every news story we do that day. You're going to love it as a full show. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Thanks for watching. All right, welcome to the Young Turks, Cenk and John with you guys. Of course, there's a lot to get to in today's show, but the shooting in Florida is occupying everyone's mind, rightfully so. So let's just do it, John. Let's get to it, and of course, okay, we'll give you the relevant context and then a little bit of rage.
Yeah. This is America, and so, of course, we've got another school shooting for you. Today, the target was Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. And the situation is still developing, obviously. We actually just got one of the most recent facts right before going to air, but this is what we know so far. The shooter was a former student, a male. I believe the name has been announced as...
Yeah, Nicholas Cruz.
Nicholas Cruz. So far, and much more importantly, two people are reported dead on the scene, and at least 14 others have been injured, although those numbers are probably going to change. This is a school of about 3,000 students, and obviously this has traumatized that community. Those people's lives will never be the same after this. I mean, if you've been on social media, you've seen some of the footage that was being sent up by students inside of the school when it was being locked down. People were tweeting video and statements, and it was, as it always is, absolutely devastating to see. We're going to show you in just a little bit. Oh, you're seeing there some of the footage from outside of the school.
So, Senator Bill Nelson from Florida has confirmed that several people have died. The casualty reports are anywhere from 14, if that's the number that John quoted for you, I've seen in a lot of news stories, all the way up to 20 to 50 in some of the reports. Now, when these shootings happen or a news event happens, the first 24 hours, you'll get a lot of things that get corrected later. So the number of casualties, I'm sure, will change, both the wounded and the killed. But it's obvious that it was a enormous mass shooting in this high school in Florida. Good to see that they apprehended the shooter. He was a former student at the school. Another student at the South Florida high school said, quote, "He's been a troubled kid and has always had a certain amount of issues going on. He shot guns because he felt it gave him, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for, an exhilarating feeling." And apparently he talked about how he knew the floor plans of the high school. Now, this is, again, early reporting here, but that's what one student said about the person he believed to be the shooter. And now authorities say the shooter is Cruz. So
he's in custody.
Yeah, and he's in custody. So this is the same pattern that we see a million times over. Someone who's disgruntled, a misfit, and again, another student describes him as someone that other people didn't want to be around too much, given how volatile he was. Looking for glory, looking for strength and power in a gun. And since, of course, we have hundreds of millions of guns in America, super easy to get one, super easy to access one. Any lunatic can grab it. Anyone looking for glory can grab it, whether it's a politically motivated shooting, whether it is, and that comes of all different stripes, or just someone looking to get into the news and get some glory. And here we are again, and you're never going to prevent it unless you do gun control. Yeah. Now, you look, it doesn't matter. I don't care what your opinion is. And you, oh my God, but it's my hobby. Okay, my hobby's fantasy football. It doesn't kill anyone. Okay, so if your hobby kills tens of thousands of Americans every year, I don't know, maybe you should think about, hey, can I do my hobby in a way that doesn't lead to as many murders of children? Can I do that? Oh, but I'm fighting tyranny of the government. Really, are you? Who's used their gun to fight the tyranny of government recently? And if they have, they're probably in prison, or the cops probably rightfully shot them. So it's nonsense, and we're not asking to ban all guns, although I think a case could be made. No, they're asking for reasonable things like background checks. 93% of Americans agree with them. But no, not the corrupt politicians, because they get their blood money from the NRA, who are the real terrorists in America.
Yeah, we're going to add obviously a ton of context, and we need to, as we do so often, have to remind the people who might not know of how terrible this epidemic of mass shootings, not just shootings, mass shootings in this country actually are. But before we do that, we do want to go to a couple of videos from the scene. We have two students, witnesses to the shooting, giving their account of what happened, and here is the first.
Where were you when the shots rang out?
I was by the highway over there.
Yep. So happened you were on that side of campus?
Yeah, yeah.
And you knew immediately what was going on?
Yeah, no doubt. I heard it, I ran.
Have you been able to get a hold of your classmates or some of your friends?
My sister's still in there. She's texting me about it right now. She says to be quiet. And that's all I know right now.
Have you heard anything else in terms of who was, how many people have been hurt?
I have no idea. I know one guy got shot in the leg. That's all I know. I heard my teacher got shot, my ninth grade teacher, but that's all I know right now.
Think about the terror in the hearts of those parents. I'm a parent. Jesus, if my daughter was stuck in that school, or your son or anyone. But every time politicians tells us thoughts and prayers, that's all we can give. Let's pray to a mythical God in the sky above who never comes to help us. Because it isn't about him coming to help us. It's about whether we can logically pass laws in this country that 93% of Americans agree with. No, we don't have a democracy. We have nothing but goddamn corruption. So now, in this case, it was Broward County. Next time, it'll be in your area. It will. I've told you this. And every once in a while, we get an email. We get tweets. We'll get them today again. Hey, Cenk, I remember when you said it'd be in my neck of the woods. And then it was. And then we had a shooting near my house, in my school, in my hospital, in my movie theater, etc. Because the shootings are nonstop. There's a mass shooting almost every single day in America. And they are coming for our kids. And we're helping them by giving everyone in the country a gun. If you have everyone in the country has a gun, you think what, we're all 100% mentally stable, the whole country? No, no, there's a lot of monsters among us. There's a lot of unstable people among us. There's people looking for glory among us. And we all go, hey, hand out guns like candy. No one else does this across the world. And they don't have anywhere near the mass shootings and the murder rates that we do.
Yeah, well, Cenk, he's not just giving guns. We actually have a tweet from President Trump where he's giving something else. If we bring this graphic up, he's giving prayers and condolences.
Oh, wow.
So that's good.
Yeah.
It's the first time. I hope it works. It's a radical solution.
Spare me and spare the parents of this shooting and the next shooting about your prayers and condolences. You know what I would like instead? Laws and bills and legislation. We're supposed to live in a democracy. Can we just get a shred of gun regulation before we just hand them out to everyone and go, oh, look, oh my God, another school shooting, the billionth in a row. Who could have seen it coming? I do. I'll tell you right now, there'll be another one and another one and another one. And one day it's going to be your kid's school. Jeez. And if you voted against gun control and you say, oh, no, but I like the murder deer in the woods or whatever I'm pretending to do, and my gun makes me feel like a bigger and better man, well, you're responsible. The NRA, you are deeply responsible. All those legislators, mainly Republican, but a lot of Democrats as well, that vote against gun control no matter what, even if you're on the terrorist watch list, even if you're mentally unstable, sometimes when you've already committed violent crimes, you're responsible if you vote against that. We live in a democracy. It is your fault, legislators, when you don't do gun control and our kids get murdered.
Cenk, the only reason I can think of that you're saying it's going to continue to happen is because it happens literally almost every 2 days in this country. So we're going to read you some stats now. This is not shootings, and this is not mass shootings, which when I was a kid were rare and big and newsworthy events. This is just school shootings. Just this year, there have been 18 or 19, depending on how you define it, which is almost one every 2 days, which means there's very little chance we're getting to the weekend without another school being a site of a shooting just like what you saw in those videos. There's been 29 mass shootings, and I think that's probably a pretty tight definition there. Total, 1,796 gun deaths this year. It's February this year. And over 3,000 gun injuries this year.
Okay, so that's in 6 weeks.
And it is totally acceptable to the vast majority of the people who have any power to do anything about it. Because they love to talk about how they're strong on security and defense And they will spend every time you look at the news, military spending is another $20 billion, another $60 billion, another $160 billion. What's it being spent on? Who the hell knows? I literally think that nobody in government or the military knows what it's being spent on. If we need to spend $20 billion on a wall, we should do that. Seems like based on Twitter activity today, we could save a hell of a lot of money by sending thoughts and prayers to the border. Save $20 billion that way. So they love to talk about defense. But for the things that are actually threatening our country and our individuals, they don't care. Because of tiny amounts of donations they get from the NRA. They will take your child and they will put it on the altar of American gun worship. And they will do that literally every day if that's what is necessary.
So great point by John. So after 9/11, how many countries did we invade? How many trillions of dollars did we spend? How many thousands of US soldiers died? How many millions of innocent civilians died? Because of our reaction, because 3,000 people were killed. And boy, we were all in a rage and we ought to be. That's every 3 months in America. Gun violence. Every 3 months, you will have as many people that died on 9/11 will die from gun violence. But there, nothing. We won't invade anybody. We won't spend any money on defense contractors. No, it isn't about keeping you safe. It's about who gets paid. Now, when we got hit on 9/11, what happened? We blindly attacked Iraq. Afghanistan, at least that was the base for the people who attacked us. Iraq had nothing to do with it. But the defense contractors made tons of money. This instability in the Middle East. The oil companies made tons of money. Were you safer? No. Then Al-Qaeda, that was not in Iraq, came into Iraq and got larger. Then Al-Qaeda seemed like wimps next to ISIS, who then grew out of that conflict. Are we safer? No. But the people who bribe our politicians got richer. Now, in the case of guns, we are infinitely unsafe. Everyone is unsafe. You can get shot any minute of the day because the guy sitting next to you has a gun. If he doesn't have it on him, which he probably does, he has it at his house or he has it in his trunk. There's almost one gun per every person, not just adult, for every person in America. That's on average, okay? And yes, they do it to shootings and it terrorizes all of us and it makes us so much unsafer than any of the things they warn about. All that money that they just spent on defense, it was already at $600-700 billion. They added another $190 billion on top to keep us safe from what? Poland? From Canada? Who's about to invade us? No, the invasion is right here, right now. It's in a school in Florida. The terrorism right here, it's in a school in Florida. It's a school in Connecticut. It's a school in Colorado. It's a school all over the country. But it doesn't, none of the corrupt politicians get bribed to keep you safe. They get bribed by gun manufacturers to keep on killing you and your kids. So wherever the money is, that's where these corrupt politicians go. So it's not about keeping you safe. That's just a trick.
Yeah.
In reality, all of us are terrorized every single day, but the politicians keep getting their money, their blood money.
Well, actually, we have something on that, so why don't we turn to that? I do eventually want to get to Representative Chris Murphy, but the reason, one of the reasons that we don't have any progress here is that you have some portion of the country that's making money off of this, and then you have another portion that is just plain evil or insane or a combination of the two. We're going to turn to the money first. This is a tweet. Earlier this morning, NRA retweeted a tweet from a gun maker encouraging people to buy their loved ones guns for Valentine's Day. Since the shooting, they took it down and have gone silent. He had a screenshot, which we now have, that we can turn to. That's lovely. I'm going to be celebrating Valentine's Day later. I never thought about giving her a gun. But the NRA, which for decades and decades was an organization designed around gun training and that sort of thing, now is just social media for gun manufacturers to try to make them a little bit more money on every single holiday. I'm sure that they're going to have a St. Patrick's Day ad. Maybe they'll have a turkey next to a gun for Thanksgiving. They can have an elf posing with a couple of guns for Christmas. It's going to be delightful. They'll make a bunch of money. And the great thing is, they'll make more money tomorrow. There are people going and buying guns right now because they're so scared of the fact that everybody has guns. It's a wonderful system they've set up.
Yay, murder a loved one for Valentine's Day. That's so cute by the terrorists at the NRA.
And they've gone silent. One of my favorite tweets today was this political comedy person on Twitter who posted, I'd like to congratulate the NRA's social media manager for their upcoming 6-day weekend. Because they're going to be gone, and you're not going to hear anything, and then they'll go back to pushing guns.
The only thing you'll ever hear from the corrupt politicians who are bought by the NRA is, this is not the time. This is not, no, the last shooting wasn't the time either, and Columbine wasn't the time, and Newton wasn't the time. And you name it. There's a billion of them. The mass shooting in a church in Texas, that wasn't the time. The mass shooting in a club in Orlando, that wasn't the time.
Not with Dylan Roof, don't want to do it then.
No, none of it. It's never the time. And guess what? It's going to be today. Guess what? Republican politicians, all in unison, will be screaming, "Not the time! Not the time to politicize this." No. Instead, where's my money, NRA? Hey, terrorists, where's my money? I'm going to take money from these terrorists called NRA.
We have another school shooting in, on average, 50 hours. So between now and the next shooting in 50 hours, where are we supposed to have that conversation? Is it at the 25-hour mark? Do I have at some point tomorrow afternoon? We can bring it up, maybe.
So, look, the people who love guns and it makes them feel stronger because they're weak, and they go, "Oh no, but it's my hobby or whatever it is, and it's my Second Amendment right." And I once the. The tyranny is you guys shooting us. That's the tyranny, okay? But the tyranny of the government, I'm going to stand up to them in the woods and they'll never get me and whatever the insane crap you believe, okay? And then they'll say stupid stuff like, well, a car could kill someone, and it has. It's run over people. That's right. But a car has another purpose, to drive, get us from point A to point B. Even an axe has a different purpose. Okay, you could use it to kill someone. You could also use it to chop down a tree. A gun, its only point is to kill things. You say, well, look, I like to have fun. I like to use my AK-47 or my AR-15 to butcher deer in my local woods because I'm incompetent and I can't hunt like a real hunter. So I just bum, 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 and see whatever the hell happens. But it's not about the deer. It makes me feel good. So when they send out these cutesy Valentine's Day gifts of guns, it isn't so you can drive somewhere. It isn't so you can chop down a tree. It's, hey, take this just in case you'd like to kill something. Wow, sweet. What a lovely Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Well, why don't we turn to this other video? If you can prep video six. So literally as the news was breaking in this story, Representative Chris Murphy from my home state, who very often has spoken very, I would say, in a very heartfelt manner about the epidemic of mass shootings and school shootings in this country, was on the floor house on an unrelated issue and decided to talk about this. So we'd like to show you an excerpt of that now.
Turn on your television right now. You're going to see scenes of children running for their lives. What looks to be the 19th school shooting in this country, and we have not even hit March. I'm coming to the floor to talk about something else, but let me just note once again for my colleagues, this happens nowhere else other than the United States of America. This epidemic of mass slaughter, this scourge of school shooting after school shooting. It only happens here not because of coincidence, not because of bad luck, but as a consequence of our inaction. We are responsible.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
For a level of mass atrocity that happens in this country with zero parallel anywhere else. As a parent, it scares me to death that this body doesn't take seriously the safety of my children. And it seems like a lot of parents in South Florida are going to be asking that same question later today. We pray for the families, for the victims. We hope for the best.
And how many times have we sat at this desk and done this story? I mean, the names, the nouns are different, but it's the same story. The numbers are slightly different, but it's the same story. And we've been doing it for years, and obviously you've been doing it for far longer. But like, I know a lot of people think after the lack of response from Sandy Hook that, well, that's it for America. We had a good run. We can't be held responsible to take care of ourselves. But I thought maybe there's some other things that could happen. And then you look at some of the shootings that happened and were unimaginable tragedies and nothing happened after. I mean, if Pulse can happen and nothing happens, if the shooting in Vegas at Mandalay Bay can happen and nothing happens, if someone can go into a church and gun down people at a church in America and nothing happens.
Over and over again.
Over and over, many of them. But I mean, even once. In America, if that doesn't trigger a response from America, I don't know if I can come up with something that could at this point. I mean, congressmen were shot at and it did nothing. At this point, other than literally the State of the Union being shot up, I can't imagine what could possibly cause the country to move in action. You can shoot. There is nothing you can imagine. No mass shooting, no school shooting, no church shooting. You could shoot up an airport. You can shoot up anything you want. And America will not act. And we have now tested all of those cases. They're not hypotheticals anymore. We've run through every iteration of this as a country and we've failed in every case.
So the only two beefs I had with Chris Murphy's speech there, which was a great speech and I'm glad someone in Congress cares, is he said, it's our fault, we have failed. No, not we. You should have called them out by their names. Chris Murphy voted the right way every time on this issue. You should say Orrin Hatch. The bloodthirsty senator from Utah who takes NRA money and has taken it for decades is responsible. He didn't want gun control and your kids in Florida are dead. Name them all. Go through the John Cornyn, Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, all the people who took blood money from the NRA and now your kids are dead because they won't ever do gun control. Doesn't matter what the percentages are. I keep telling you, 93% of Americans wanted federal background checks as one example of the smallest little gun control you could do. And all of those Republicans voted no. Some Democrats as well, but mainly, overwhelmingly, Republicans. So, don't politicize. I already got a tweet saying, they haven't even counted the bodies. How dare you? How dare you? Hey, let me ask you something, you total scam artist, phony. All of you right wingers who cling to your guns because of your lack of manlyhood, okay, and whatever it is that drives you to be so afraid, I need my gun, I'm nothing without my gun, I'm such a pathetic little man without my gun. All of you guys, you say, don't talk now when people are dying. No, don't talk now. That seems wrong. If it's an act of terrorism from certain places, talk right away, and let's go kill all of them, right? Okay, but don't talk now. So then let me ask you something. When did the Republicans talk? When did you talk? Did you wait 2 or 3 days and then say, God damn it, let's do gun control? I love guns. It has nothing to do with my manlyhood. Cenk, that's completely unfair. I love murdering deer in the woods, and you don't get it. And one day, 78 years from now, I'm going to stand up to tyranny, and you don't get it, Cenk. So, but I am for reasonable gun control, and I acted. I acted and I held my politicians accountable. When they took blood money from the NRA, funded by gun manufacturers who love this, they're celebrating, they're high-fiving right now, gun manufacturers, because gun sales are going to increase after the shooting, as they do after every shooting. So did you hold him accountable 2 days later, 3 days later, 2 weeks later, 2 months later? No, you never held him accountable because it's a trick, because you actually don't want to hold anyone accountable.
I got two words for you, bump stocks.
We can't even get bump stocks.
Well, Republicans are fucking talking about bump. It's been months. It's been months. It's only designed to kill as many deer as possible in a short. Sorry, that's stupid. Obviously, it's designed to kill a crowd of humans. That's what it was used for. That's what it's designed for. We can't ban that. If there were bullets that could literally only kill children, we couldn't ban them in America. It would be impossible.
Are you kidding me?
If there were bullets that were magnetically attracted to cops, we couldn't ban them in America.
No, but there are, John. Like, that is not a.
I know, armor-piercing, obviously.
No, it's not a hypothetical. Armor-piercing bullets are not for deer. They don't have armor. And the regular citizen doesn't have armor. Armor-piercing bullets are only meant to kill cops. We have special bullets to kill cops, and they won't ban them. And then they'll go around and do hashtag Blue Lives Matter. No, if they're beating up on black people, then all of a sudden, oh, they're cops. Way to go. Yeah, keep those black people down, right? Oh, you're getting murdered out there by armor-piercing bullets? I don't give a crap. Go ahead and die. What do I care? Cops. I don't give a crap about cops. That's what all you right-wingers say. You right-wingers hate cops because you allow those armor-piercing bullets to murder them. But no, 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 no. The NRA spreads their money around. And so those terrorists gave us bribes. We got bribed by the terrorists at the NRA. So nope, I'm not going to do anything about it. The Republican politicians aren't going to do anything about it. And you right-wing clowns aren't going to do anything about it. And one day, when it comes to your neighborhood, you're going to cry. And you're going to say, nobody could have seen this coming. Well, for the billionth time in a row, we see it coming. And the funny thing is, we're trying to look out for you. I know apparently you don't care about your neighbors. You don't care about your kids. You don't care about anyone in this community, but we do, including you. We're not trying to do gun control to stop your, what did Mitt Romney say? He'd like to hunt vermin or whatever. We're not trying to stop you from murdering rats or whatever that you think you're doing with your guns. We're trying to protect you and your family. Because if there are, the more guns there are, it is an absolute provable statistical fact, the more deaths there are by gunfire. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure it out. And we can show you all the numbers comparing America, where we're drowning in guns, and every other country that has gun control, where they don't have mass shootings.
Yeah, it does not take a scientist to show it, but just in case, scientists have shown it. So I retweeted a Trace Dominguez, a YouTuber from the Network Seeker, who did a tweet compiling a number of different studies correlating the number with the correlation between the number of guns and the number of shootings and the disparity between our country and others. So if you feel the need, if common sense isn't enough, if you have to see the scientific evidence, there's an abundance of it.
All right, let's take a break.
Yeah, let's do that.
We'll do other stories when we come back. Thanks for listening to this podcast. You're only halfway through, so hold, stay right here. Just want to remind you, if you want to get all 5 segments of the Young Turks commercial free, these are just 2 of them. Every day we do it. So go to tytnetwork.com/join and you get the whole 5 segments, 2 hours, ad free. Do it now. All right, back on the Young Turks. Only one tweet because we got to go. Eagle Parade says, the only thing you got from the Las Vegas shooting was the loss of countless lives and less privacy in hotel rooms.
That's right. Usual
Band-Aid strategy. Because that was the real problem, because we had too much privacy in hotel rooms. That was the issue, not all the guns that were used to kill people. Whether they're in hotel rooms, movie theaters, schools, churches, it doesn't matter. God, man, it's so goddamn frustrating. Okay, member shout outs today are Charlie Hall and Deborah Marciano. Marciano? Okay, either way, Charlie and Deborah, you guys are awesome. Thank you. So yesterday in the post game, I showed that I actually invented the phrase fake news back in 2010, because I have the best words, and I'm a very stable genius, that shirt you can get at shoptyt.com.
I wore the Very Stable Genius shirt on Friday's power panel, and it triggered some Trump fans. It was pretty fun. All it said was Trump's quote.
Yeah.
I mean, why would that trigger you?
Yeah, we didn't say it, he said.
Did I hurt your feelings?
You actually should be like, oh, Haha, look at that. The lip is wearing a shirt. That proves how much of a genius Trump is.
They hate being confronted by how stupid their president is.
Yeah. I was wearing our Covfefe shirt earlier today. Did you get triggered by that? He meant it, and it was a really important secret thing. We still haven't found out what the secret meaning behind Covfefe was. Okay, anyway. This is technically our 16th anniversary today.
Yes, and okay. It's a bad day.
Yeah, but luckily the party is tomorrow.
Yes.
Obviously we're sold out. You can't get tickets anymore. But if you're a member, you can actually watch from wherever you are. So if you're a member, please check it out. And if you're not, become a member for the same price that it would cost you for a general admission ticket, just $10. And you could watch it live tomorrow. Jimmy's going to do a set, and then we've got a 6-person panel, me, Anna, John, JR, Jimmy, and Ben. And then we're going to do some political speeches, too. I am, Allison Hartson is. We might have more politicians if we do more rallies. Anyway, tytnetwork.com/join to become a member and check that out. All right, what's next, Anna?
Okay. Donald Trump has been very clear about his immigration policy. He wants to end so-called chain migration. He wants to do away with visas that allow low-skilled individuals to come into the country. But his actions obviously do speak louder than words. And if you do a quick analysis of the types of employees his companies tend to hire, you'll notice that the vast majority of them happen to be foreign workers. And they're foreign workers who come to the United States on a temporary basis for low-skilled work. So these are not people who are, typically the type of people that he would be supportive of in his rhetoric. So let me give you the details on this. Now, we're going to look at 2 Trump properties in Florida and 1 Trump property in New York. The time period is between 2016 and the end of 2017, beginning of 2016, end of 2017. When you look at the number of employees that were hired, you'll find that only one of those employees was a US citizen. Hiring managers said they were able to find and hire only one qualified American worker, a cook, for 144 open positions for servers, cooks, housekeepers, and bartenders. Interesting. So the United States doesn't have people who could work as bartenders? No one's qualified to work as a bartender? I find that a little strange.
No, Anna, to be fair though, it's in the remote areas of New York and Florida.
South Florida.
Yeah, have you ever heard of an American bartender in New York?
Never. It's a rarity. In August of 2017 alone, for instance, Mar-a-Lago and Palm Beach sought permission to hire 70 servers, housekeepers, and cooks for 8 months starting in October. Also, in July of 2017, the Department of Homeland Security raised the cap on H-2B visas for guest workers from 66,000 to 81,000 for fiscal year 2017. Now, July 2017, that's when Trump is president. Trump essentially petitioned to raise the cap for these foreign workers. 3 days later, Trump Properties essentially asked the Department of Homeland Security to allow foreign workers to work for Trump Properties.
No, I'm sure that it was not connected, though.
No, not at all.
Okay, so to me, one of the most telling parts of this is the only part of immigration that Trump has increased. So everything else has been decreased. So if you're an H-1B high-skilled worker, the tech guys are screaming that they need more workers there and they don't have enough coders, etc. Now, it's not like they can't pay enough money. They pay a lot of money. It's not like the agricultural workers, right? And they're like, we just don't have enough workers. Okay, but Trump says, no high-skilled workers here. I'm not raising the quota on the H-1Bs. The other part of the program is the H-2As. Those are for agricultural workers, farm workers. Mm-hmm. Now, those finding American workers for those are actually difficult, okay? Mm-hmm. And several different states have tried to kick out undocumented immigrants and then put out notices to try to get American workers and then increase the wages, and they still couldn't get it done, okay? But bartenders, cooks, servers, busboys?
No, American was qualified for those jobs. Actually, only one American was qualified for one of those jobs. But the other 143 job openings, they had to go to these foreign workers. And no American was qualified. I mean, what were they going to do?
Because of his rhetoric, he brings down immigration in every other category. But the one category where he hires workers, somehow that goes up. And 3 days later, he gets a permit to hire almost everyone from outside the country.
This is why when we brought up the issues of conflicts of interest, we made such a big deal about it. Because if you have a president who is a business owner, he's going to use his position as president to push for and pass legislation and policy that benefits him and his bottom line. And that's exactly what happened here. Look, I have nothing against bringing in foreign workers based on these visas, based on these job openings, if it makes sense. But in this case, I mean, listen to his rhetoric and then take a quick look at his actions. I'm pretty sure there were Americans that not only were qualified for those jobs, but would have gladly taken those jobs. So let's take a look at how much was offered in regard to pay. So Mar-a-Lago offered $10.33 per hour for housekeepers, $13.43 for cooks, and $11.88 for servers. No tips, which I don't understand why no tips anyway. So they offered wages comparable to what Americans are getting paid in other jobs. And so, you know, the argument is always, oh, well, Americans won't take the jobs because they're not making enough money. But again, these are wages that are comparable to other companies that have similar job openings.
So one way that you could have gotten American workers, if it was true, by the way, by law, they have to follow this procedure to say, well, I tried to get American workers, but I couldn't. And oftentimes, especially for like H-1B workers, that's real. You actually, those are very specialized workers. You put out notices, you can't find anyone, and then you go outside the country. Okay, in this case, they're like, oh, well, we put it in the newspaper for a little while. Mm-hmm. And golly gee, we didn't like anyone who applied. And by the way, did the government check to see if any of the things that the Trump properties are saying is true? No, nobody checked. Okay. And okay, so you can't get a cook for $13 or whatever. Why don't you try $15? What should be the minimum wage? Which, by the way, is the argument that people make, and mainly on the right wing, but some even on the left wing, saying, why don't you just increase wages? I mean, there is a price at which Americans will pick tomatoes. There's certainly a price at which they'll become a bartender. There are bartenders all across the country.
So you made a really interesting point about how there is a price at which Americans are willing to do some of that agriculture work, which, by the way, is backbreaking labor, very difficult to do. But there have been multiple case studies, including in Napa Valley, California, at the vineyards, where the farmers would increase the wages. It would be beyond a living wage. They would also offer health benefits and other benefits to their workers in these job openings, and Americans did not want to take the jobs. Time and time again, they did not want to take the jobs. It's difficult work. It's so hard. And I think that we really overestimate how much of a difference the pay would make in certain fields of work.
But not these fields. There's cooks all over the country. Okay, so Marker, so you don't take our word for it if you're a right winger. There was very little possibility that you would. So I'm going to quote someone who can't stand immigration, Mark Kerkorian, although I'm pretty sure that his family at some point immigrated here. Anyway, executive director for Center for Immigration Studies, he advocates for immigration restrictions. And he really, really likes Trump. But on this H-2Bs, he's confused. And he says that he's, quote, displeased with what Trump has done. And then goes on to say, and I'm going to soften the quote here, but he said it pretty harshly, it's a BS law written to ensure that employers don't have to hire Americans. And that's what Trump is taking and going, yes, I get richer. Well, pretend to be for America first. Look at my hat. My hat says make America great again. You think I'm going to hire Americans? Screw Americans. Of course, I'm going to hire people from what kind of countries? And by the way, most of the countries he hires from, Mexico, Guatemala, Jamaica.
No. This is yes, that's true. But also, employers in Texas hired the most of these foreign workers.
What happened? I thought you were a red state. Okay. The only good news out of all this is that, given that it's South Florida, he almost certainly hired some Haitians.
Oh my gosh.
Who are now his cooks and his bartenders. I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying. Okay. And look, overall, if you're a Trump fan, you could deny it all you want, but anyway, these are facts. And so you know he never meant it. And now you know it. You know it. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about American workers. All he cares about is Donald Trump. How do I make Donald Trump richer if I got a sucker who's going to vote for me because he thinks I care about the American worker? Even though during the campaign, you saw the stories about how he would hire illegal immigrants, undocumented immigrants over and over and over again. And he would cheat and steal and do scam after scam. And he would, the last thing he wanted to do was hire American workers. Why? I don't want to pay him. I don't want to pay him. I want to make more money. Yeah. And he's doing it again as president and manipulating the laws. So if you're against immigration, he's playing you for a fool. Oh, get distracted by the wall, but don't look at all the foreign workers I just hired.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Let's talk a little bit about the economy. This is a story that I found super interesting, and I hope you do too. Researchers at Harvard University looked at the issue of social mobility in various countries. And what they wanted to do was gauge the public's perspective on social mobility in their own country and compare it to the reality of social mobility in their country. And what I found so fascinating was the fact that the United States, or at least people in the United States, seem to be much more optimistic about social mobility compared to what the reality is. When you look to other countries, specifically European countries, they're much more pessimistic, but their social mobility is actually a lot better than they think it is. So, Harvard University compared perceptions of social mobility in countries like America, Britain, France, Italy, and Sweden against actual levels. It finds that Americans tend to be optimistic while Europeans tend to be too pessimistic. So let's get into the numbers. An American born to a household in the bottom 20% of earnings, for instance, only has a 7.8% chance of reaching the top 20% when they grow up. Americans surveyed thought the probability was 11.7%. So there is some disparity there. I would argue, prior to reading the results of this study, I would have thought that the disparity would even be greater.
Because you're like a pessimistic European.
I'm as pessimistic as can be.
I just want to give one piece of context there.
Sure.
Because the European countries, even though they're socialist, do way better than us. In fact, the more socialist they are, the more social mobility that they have. Of course, in America, we're taught it's the opposite. No, if we have unfettered free market and we just crush everybody at the bottom, somehow they'll match, that'll toughen them up and they'll get to the top. No, it doesn't toughen them up. It puts them in a hole they can't get out of. So in Sweden, which is far, far more socialist than us, they have much greater social mobility in about 12%, 11.5%, 12% of the bottom 20% move on up to the top 20% in Sweden. Although in Sweden and in other European countries, they think, no, it's probably less, right? They think it's less than 10%. They actually do better than they realize. And in America, we think, oh, we got this thing figured out, man. We're all moving to the top.
No.
In fact, almost none of us are.
No, but this is for me, I think that the results of this study are applicable to election results. That's the reason why I found this so fascinating. Because what always befuddles me is when poor people vote against their best interests, vote for policies and politicians who represent policies that would be disastrous for them and their economic situation. And I think it's because they have been conditioned to think that the American dream is alive and well, and the only thing that's destroying the American dream are these socialist programs, right? And if we just vote for the person who's against these government programs that help the poor and redistribution of wealth, well, then our economic situation will be far greater. But if you look at the numbers, if you look at the states that typically lean toward Republican candidates or are just straight out red states, they're often the states that require the most aid in the form of government programs, right? Whether it's welfare, food stamps, whatever it is. And so there's like a disconnect there, and it's all about perception. It's all about the way that they perceive what their future could be. You know, even though if you juxtapose that to reality, it's a far different picture.
So what we're actually really good at here in America is marketing. And so we market the American dream, and I believe it. I believe in it, and I think it's possible. And a lot of people who work here, their parents were dirt poor, or they themselves were really poor, and we rose up, and it's possible, et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't mean we should make it harder. It means that maybe one of the ways that we got up, for example, the only reason my family got anywhere is because my dad was allowed to get a free college education. Otherwise, we'd still be olive farmers in southeastern Turkey. So that doesn't mean you crush people underneath you. It means you give them a hand up, because they actually can rise if you believe in them. But America, unfortunately, doesn't. All we do is marketing gimmicks. So what percentage of people that are in the bottom 20% make it out of the bottom 20% at all? Make it to the 21st percentile, not to the top, but just out of the bottom 20, only 32%.
That's so sad.
And again, among these five countries that were tested, we're rock bottom. We're the worst. We're not number one, we're last. Britain, which has socialized medicine and the list goes on of how much more their government gets involved, is number one at 38%. So it's just not true that just taking away any government help for people makes it more likely that they'll rise up. It makes it less likely.
So I love this story. I find it so fascinating, and there's more that I want to share. So let's also talk about how people are likely to react to this very information, okay? When given pessimistic information about social mobility, left-wing respondents became even more likely to support economic redistribution. However, right-wing respondents' support for redistribution did not change. So if you happen to lean toward the right and you are watching this right now, you have already disregarded the information that we have shared with you. You're sticking to your guns. You're not changing your mind based on their findings. Also, nearly half of the states in the United States, and this is not based on the come back to me. This what I'm about to share with you is not based on the Harvard study. This is actually a result from Pew Research. They do their own annual survey to see what the well-being of Americans is like. And here's what they found. Nearly half of the states in the US saw their scores decline, and zero states saw a significant improvement in well-being from 2016 to 2017. So for instance, people reported more worry, little interest in doing things, depression symptoms, and perceiving less positive energy from family and friends. Less people reported having a leader in their lives who makes them enthusiastic about the future. There was also a decline in people who said they are reaching their goals and happy with their standard of living. Social mobility is so incredibly important. We have a country full of people who are feeling this deep sense of despair because they're working longer hours, they're doing jobs that they absolutely hate, because they have to put food on the table for their families, and they feel unappreciated. And we need to do something to change the way our system is set up, because people are miserable, and they will continue to be miserable if we don't change.
I believe in the American dream. I just believe that we should make it more likely, not less likely. We should help people achieve the American dream rather than crushing their dreams. Not too much to ask for.
Yes.
Okay, what's next?
All right. A police officer in West Virginia who lost his job for refusing to shoot a suspect has settled with the police department to the tune of $175,000. Stephen Mader is the name of the cop who got fired. And the case all began when he was called to a home where a domestic dispute had occurred. He was immediately confronted by the suspect, who was holding a gun. Now, it was an unloaded gun, and Stephen Mader, the cop in the story, realized that this guy didn't really pose a threat, because as soon as he was confronted by him, the suspect asked him to shoot him. And what Mader wanted to do was de-escalate the situation. He didn't want to shoot him. He told him, "I'm not going to shoot. Please drop the gun. Let's figure this out." And then two other police officers showed up to the scene and immediately shot and killed the suspect. Now, the police department decided that Mader had put the other cops' lives in danger by not shooting the suspect, and they fired him. Mader sued for wrongful termination. There we go. And luckily, he did win a settlement of $175,000.
Okay, so understand that the cops do an investigation and they go, "Oh, Mader was right. The gun was not loaded. He was trying to do suicide by cop." So you're fired anyway. So you showed proper restraint. It's not that there are a few bad apples and then once the apples are bad apples are realized, they throw them out and they fix the bunch, right? No, there's actually a few good apples like Mader, and once they're discovered, they're immediately crushed and thrown away. Okay, now why? Because that embarrasses the rest of the cops. We went and killed that guy we didn't need to kill, and it turns out you showed beyond a shadow of a doubt that we didn't need to kill him. So we got to get rid of you because it's embarrassing. You're embarrassing the rest of us, who are cowards and don't want to take any chances, and we shoot, kill, because that's in the training. Look, when I say that it's not just a few bad apples, it's not to say all cops are bad people. That's ridiculous, right? But it is to say that the training is wrong. They train them to be bad apples. So when they get a good apple, they said, one of the reasons they fired him, they're like, "You didn't follow protocol." They said he had apparent difficulties in critical incident reasoning.
I couldn't disagree with that more. He understood the importance of de-escalating the situation rather than shooting before asking any questions. The other cops arrived to the scene and immediately shot the suspect dead. And I commend Mader for his bravery. I commend him for understanding the responsibility that he had as a police officer. And Jake, I agree with you. There's an issue with the training. But more importantly, even after the training, there's a problem with the culture. Because the culture, at least at this specific police department in West Virginia, is no. You absolutely have to shoot as soon as you think that this person might pose even a small risk. And if you don't, you will be punished. You will lose your job. That sends a very strong message to all cops. I don't think all cops, you know, enter the force as bad people, as corrupt people, as individuals who want to cause harm to people. I think they genuinely start wanting to do good. But I think that they get tainted by the current culture that we're seeing in various departments.
We teach them to be bad guys, and we encourage it. Look, if you shoot the wrong guy, you don't get fired. You kill the wrong person, you don't get fired. You don't kill the person, and you're right, you get fired. I mean, it's crazy. And you think, like, I know some right-wingers are like, "Oh, that Mader's soft, man. What if the gun wasn't loaded?" Mader is a Marine veteran who served in Afghanistan, and since he served in really hostile situations, he said he had a sense of what is actually dangerous and what is not dangerous, and who's going to act and who's not going to act, and he wanted to protect a fellow citizen in West Virginia. He was looking out for you. He wanted to make sure. Look, how many people in West Virginia have guns? A lot, right? He caught this guy on a bad day.
Yeah.
And he wanted to make sure that the guy didn't die on a bad day. And he's a veteran who's been through it before, and he wanted to make sure that he protected that guy's life. And they're like, "Well, you must be punished for doing the right thing because you're embarrassing the rest of us who are taught and rewarded to do the wrong thing."
He is exactly the type of person who is well suited to protect and serve. And even though I'm happy he received this settlement, right now he's employed as a truck driver. And yeah. And that is such a gross injustice.
Yeah, whereas the guys who shot the guy unnecessarily are still cops in West Virginia. And one last thing, of course, afterwards, it wasn't just enough to fire him, they had to smear him.
Yeah.
So one of the things they said was, he put a parking ticket in the wrong part of the car once. Come on. And one time he cursed while confronting a suspect.
Because that never happens.
No, and you'd have to fire every cop. I mean, why don't you just say we're corrupt and we'd like to announce how corrupt we are by pretending that we care about cops cursing? Okay, it was a gross act of injustice. We got a little bit of justice today with the settlement, but he should be welcomed in any police force in the country. That's the kind of guy you can get behind. Thanks for watching what I hope was a lovely edition of the Young Turks. Now, you know that is two of the five segments that we do because that's free. We want to have you support independent media and come watch the whole show that we do every day. That's five segments overall, no ads at all. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Come become a member. Thanks for watching either way.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.